You are listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super hosts, anime, mistress of the dork, and Dave Shield 21.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email, geekworld@92.5KYHY.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com, and you know what's going to be up there now?
What's up?
All of the Comic-Con pictures.
Nice,
except
yes.
Except for the ones that we didn't put up. But,
yes.
You know, those are
they should all be up by now, though, yes.
Except for ones of us. We didn't really include many of those.
No. Well, we'll get those up at some point.
Of course. Of course, you can see me soon on the Mistress of the Dark site that's coming.
Yeah! Exciting. Very, very exciting. You know, and hopefully by that point I'll have a cooler nickname than the
Dave
ones
Shield
we keep
21?
On. I mean, that's a cool one. We keep on cycling through them, though. We're seeing what sticks. We're just throwing it all against the wall.
Send an email to geekworld@92.5kyhy.com and let us know what you think Dave's nickname should be.
No, that's quite all right.
I anime am Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, man. Yes.
That means that Dave needs something because he won't accept the dorkness, and apparently Dave Shield 21 isn't good enough for
him. It's cool, but you know,
Dave doesn't
all
do
these
it.
Things are cool, they just don't quite feel
you know
right
what?
Yet
you know,
do they?
You know what it's gonna be again? It's gonna be anime Mistress of the Dork and Dave.
Yeah, probably.
So that's what it's gonna end
yeah,
up
yeah most likely yeah yeah I kind of I'm invested in Dave, you know. I've had that name for a few years now, you
but
know,
for today you shall be Dave Shield 21.
Nice. I'm good with that. I like that. I like that one a lot, you know. This is gonna be a really good show. I'm very excited for it. Do you know what we're doing on the show?
This show is going to be undead.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Brains.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Brains. Totally. It makes sense. It's topical because we're going to be talking about the Resident Evil movies.
And how the fallacy of the Resident Evil movies of how they're zombies and their brains.
Oh, you're going to get into that already?
No, not at all.
How do the dead... Yeah, exactly. How do they keep on popping out of their graves because they don't have brains?
They don't have brains, yeah. It's Resident Evil. I'm not actually going to be concerned with...
That's good. That's probably a good thing, yeah.
I'm not going to be concerned with the science of zombies.
So, of course, the fourth movie of the Resident Evil franchise came out this week, or last week, rather. Nice.
I am angry.
You're just going to kick the table.
I am angry that you said the fourth movie. I think what you mean is the fourth live-action movie.
Yes, that's true. It is a fourth live-action movie.
Can't
That's
forget Degeneration, which is actually I think just one of our favorite zombie movies.
It's a great one. Yeah, it's a really, really great one. It's a fantastic Resident Evil story, especially for people who until this movie didn't get a lot of the characters from the other games.
Right. The great thing about Resident Evil Degeneration, it's a CG movie made entirely in CG, so it looks just like the cutscenes in the games and stuff, except even better. But the other thing about it is that it takes place literally between games 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's its time period.
Totally.
So it's totally made to be a companion piece to the games.
Yeah, you know, we saw this one I think around when it came out.
Yeah,
and,
a couple years ago.
And we love it. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the first three, the live action, and of course the new one that we saw this week in 3D.
In 3D.
Shot in 3D. It's actually 3D.
I love the fusion camera.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
So later on, we're going to get into a little bit of Nikita.
Yes.
Maybe talk a little bit about Vampire Diaries, Warehouse 13.
Yes.
Hellcats.
Yes. This is sort of a CW
and...
Well, this is a Resident Evil / Chicks Who Kick Butt episode.
Yeah.
Because we decided, you know, of course there's Mila, who's always kicking butt in the Resident Evil games
and
movies.
Practically everywhere else she is.
Yeah,
she's
totally.
Awesome.
That's kind of her thing. But
I
also, you know, every one of these movies has another chick who also kicks butt too. So you know, this is gonna be a chick kicking butt also show. Yeah. You know? Pretty exciting, huh?
I got lost there.
I would get lost, too. So, I guess the whole question is, do we start off talking about the new movie, or do we talk about the first few movies first and then get into the new movie? Because I would have to say that this new movie is certainly, it is, like we said, it's the third sequel, it's the fourth movie. You really kind of need to know what's going on in the other movies for it to make any sense whatsoever.
The problem is that we really can't just go straight for, you can't jump straight into talking about the first movie, or about this
Afterlife,
because just like you said, this movie is kind of predicated on the idea that you've already seen at least Extinction.
Yeah.
Preferably all of the movies, but that you're at least familiar with Extinction, because it kind of pulls directly from that. And if you see an extinction, you know that that all of a sudden there's these Mila clones, these
yes.
Alice clones,
many and millions of beautiful naked
fact,
Mila clones,
an entire pit of dead ones, you know.
Yes. I would have enjoyed Attack of the Clones a lot more had they been naked Mila clones.
I know.
I'm just saying. I think
just
it would have been
something
far
for all
better
of you out there to think about.
Yes, George Lucas. Hey, you know what though? He always goes back and, you know, adds new CG to his old movies anyway. So
there
maybe,
you go.
Maybe
just,
you know.
Just ask Paul W.S. Anderson
yes.
if you can borrow his scenes of Mila.
When he reissues the classic prequels someday, he'll have to you know, put in Mila there.
I think
that'll be good.
I think that would make every movie better, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. Yeah, this one, you really have to see Extinction, which I think is a shame because it's for me,
well,
the hardest one to watch.
The other thing is, you either have to be really familiar with the games, or you have to
yeah.
see Extinction, because the games get into, like, you know, genetic, you know, growing people from the DNA material, and you know, all sorts of wacky stuff like that.
Yeah.
Crazy people.
Crazy, crazy people, yeah. So, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about the worst corporation of all time, Umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Umbrella that changed its name to Tricell. But
yes.
they won't fool us.
No, no, no. Yes, they are just the worst company ever. And yeah, we're just going to be talking about also not only things like 3D and all that other jazz, but also the idea that I think that a lot of you people out there who have seen the Resident Evil movies and maybe not played the games, only played a few of the games, there's been a lot of games. Maybe you don't realize how much these movies do take from the games.
Yeah.
In a very awesome way. So we're also going to be talking about that, highlighting that while we're talking about these movies.
In addition to how good the DVDs are, they
yes.
tend to have some really good features on
yeah.
them that really are good for all of you lovers of the Resident Evil games.
That's true. Though they don't have anything quite as good is the
Terminator Salvation with McGee standing in the middle?
No, actually, that's a good call. I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say the House of the Dead.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. Now, I will never recommend watching a Uwe Boll movie.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing this show is. This show is another explanation, is an
yes.
explanation of why Paul W.S. Anderson is the anti-Uwe Boll,
yes.
and we bow to him for that.
Well, I think, you know, what's great about this new
movie,
too.
And there's a reason that he earned himself a Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He deserves that Mila.
He got the original, too.
Yeah,
not even one of the clones. or one of the ones that were in the pit in Extinction.
I'd like
yeah.
to hope that they keep a couple clones around the house.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. Yeah. It's just, hey, look, there's a Mila clone. You know, I think, yeah, I think this new movie, Afterlife, was a really good display of how Paul W.S. Anderson has grown as a filmmaker, too. You know, he's done a lot of, he's done video game adaptations, you know, of course, along with directing the first Resident Evil and this new one. He, of course, did Mortal Kombat,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is really, Resident Evil and Mortal Kombat are probably the best two video game adaptation movies.
You know,
you really
what
think about
really impressed me about this movie?
What's that?
Seeing it in 3D,
yes.
you could see the kind of prep that he did for 3D. The kind of things that he shots that he designed to they'll look great not in 3D. They'll look big, but they were designed so that if you go see it in 3D, you're going to get that wow feeling.
I agree. Well, not only do they shoot it with a fusion camera, but a lot of the times they like to add a lot of CG in these movies, not only monster effects, but also, like, you know, bullets. Think about
yeah.
All the movies. There's always, like, a bullet, you know, coming towards the screen, a CG
be it
bullet.
Through some zombie's head
Yeah. And so, you know, this one was perfect for that because you can make a CG bullet, you know, go right into the audience, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You can just shoot into the audience. No big
yeah.
deal, you know?
Well, there was one time when blood splashed onto
yeah.
the screen, and I almost tried to wipe it off my glasses. I'm not even
yeah.
joking.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it was this, like, reaction that I had, and I kind of, like, my hand kind of started to jump up, and I was like, wait, this is 3D.
Yeah. Yeah, I also
like,
have
that happen
to me, too.
That's not
oh.
something that's something that you stopped getting used to when you, like, when you stop being 6 years old.
I
you
do
know
that
I mean?
All the time. Almost every 3D movie I go to, I always reach out for something. You know, that's why I can't wait for Tron, the new Tron movie.
Oh my God,
I'm going to be reaching out a lot to you know.
By the way, if you guys want to check out our old our Comic-Con show from this
yes.
year, you can hear our Tron interviews.
Yes.
And our Leverage interviews.
Yes.
Also awesome.
Yes. Very, very awesome. So how do you want to? What do you want to do? Do you want to just go through the films real quick, or do you want to talk about the new one?
Okay. I'm actually going to give my, I think I'm going to give my more analytical analysis of the entire, like, run of film.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to be all like,
thing, the Big King Caboodle right now.
Well,
wow.
I think so.
Wow.
I can hold off.
No. I go for it.
Okay. So bear with me, people.
Arr. I had a teacher who did that, by the way.
What?
When you said bear with me, everyone would go arr.
Arr.
Yeah.
I approve.
It's a good time.
Let's
good
do
guy.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. So bear with me, people.
Arr.
It's the lamest bear ever.
Hey, why don't you shut up, okay? It's a great bear. It's like a bear who, like, you know, eats honey and gets, you know, honey pots stuck in his head. And
barely.
And, you know, bears are awesome, you know? Also, you know, think about, you know, Yogi. He's always... Actually, I think I model a lot of my life after a Yogi Bear. You know, he pretty much spends most of his time just chasing after picnic baskets. Yeah, that's pretty much the story of my life.
Mm.
You know
me
for a while. I think you
agree.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyways.
Damn right. Get in my way.
Anyways, okay, so the main character played by Mila Jovovich is Alice. And the first movie starts off with this whole kind of through the rabbit hole, you know, like Alice through the looking glass kind of thing where she goes down the rabbit hole into, you know, from the mansion down
into the hive.
Exactly. And everything is not quite as it should be.
Dude.
You know, humans aren't quite as they should be. Animals not quite as they should be. Everything's all distorted and weird and she doesn't know where she is or, you know, who she really is.
Uh-huh. There's zombies and there's zombie dogs and...
Mm-hmm. And so
killer computers.
So for her character, that's like the first movie is all that she's like just down the rabbit hole and trying to figure things out.
Yes.
Okay. So by the second movie, you know, she's kind of like experienced that. And now the rabbit hole is kind of bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's more to it. The second movie, there's first off, they bring in characters from the game, which is awesome.
Yes.
But
notably Jill Valentine, probably the most popular of all the Resident Evil characters,
yes.
I think, from the games.
And the Carlos character is also from the games.
Yes.
Carlos
and Nicolai.
Oliveri.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Nemesis.
Yes. Yes. Formerly Eric Mabius.
Yes, exactly. The Mabius. Yes, exactly. Oh, Mabius.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. So, by the in the second one, you know, she's they've done some experimenting on her. She's got some zombie stuff in her. She's a little, you know.
She got the T virus, but it melded correctly with her, so she has, like, super Wesker powers.
It's like she took a little bit of the make you larger drink or cake or whatever,
like
a tiny little bite. And
Alice in Wonderland, right, of course.
So she's got a little extra oomph to her.
Yes.
Okay? And you know, and she goes in and she's trying to find a little girl this time with you know, So in the first movie, there was the Red Queen that was trying to kill everyone. There was down the rabbit hole. The second movie is, you know, kind of a trying to find somebody.
Uh-huh.
Third movie.
Does that mean the third movie is the Jabberwocky?
A little bit. The third movie is the world is pretty much overrun by zombies.
Yes. Yes.
And
it's a zombie apocalypse.
There's not really many survivors left. And by this time, Alice has has pretty much eaten the entire, you know, get large cake.
Yeah.
And she's got, you know, gigantic, huge psionic powers and you know, kicks butt.
Yeah,
and
she's got, like, telekinesis and psychokinesis and, I don't know, other things with the word kinesis attached.
And pretty much, you know, she's now... she's getting crazy.
Yes.
Getting wild.
Yes. Well, you know, she feels like she's a, you know,
she doesn't
people
feel
are
human
unsafe
anymore.
Around
and,
her.
Yep.
Because when she sleeps, like, rocks, you know, like, levitate and stuff.
Yeah. And, but, you know, what she finds out is that, you know, according to Claire Redfield, that's kind of how everyone feels because, well, everyone's dying because there's zombies everywhere.
Yes. Though most people don't have, like, telekinetic powers.
It's true, but her telekinetic powers have, you know, have more success in killing things than, you know...
That's true. I mean, really, that's
I mean, she has the ability to kill more things than...
Well, of course, you know. And that's the fun of the movie, which is, you know, all about killing things.
But she's also, like, being tracked by satellite, which, by the way, is also from the games.
Yes. Most of them.
So you get to the fourth movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So
she's now still in the rabbit hole.
She's still in the rabbit hole. She's now like full on eating the entire get large cake or the get large drink or whatever.
Nice.
You know, she's got all these like major mental powers and she's, you know, messing stuff up. You know. But then Wesker injects her with the get small power.
Wesker. her.
And unfortunately, she no longer has any power, so it's kind of like, you know, back down to the normal Alice size.
Yes.
You know? And so she's naked, still making her way through the rabbit hole, just trying to find her way home. She found this, but at least this helped her kind of find her way back to humanity.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Look at you. Wow, that was impressive.
Right? So, but again, you know.
You should write a paper, like a dissertation.
I should. I will get a doctorate in Resident Evil.
You should. I think that would be great.
That would be the best thing
doctorate
ever.
In survival horror.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's a good idea.
Oh, if there is a college out there that would allow me to write a dissertation, you know,
just
get
on Resident Evil?
On survival horror.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I will be a doctor. I will be Dr. Mistress of the Dork of survival horror.
Yes. Nice. Well, that's. I think that's a great idea. I would definitely read that paper, most likely.
No,
but
you
I was
wouldn't.
Like, you know. No, I wouldn't. I'd say I would, though, and then probably most likely pretend. Maybe I'd skim a little bit of it.
No, you wouldn't.
No, probably not. Could I get a Cliff Notes version, perhaps?
Yeah.
Nice. Sorry, I'll read that. No, I won't.
What if I put pictures in?
Maybe you could text message me just like some of the key things, and I could like comment on them.
What if I put pictures in, including naked Mila pictures?
Naked. Okay. All right. I think
she
we're
fully committed
now.
With the double nipples.
Yeah, exactly. That was the joke for that was in the commentary, I think, for Apocalypse, right? That was
her
and Paul W.S. Anderson, and she was saying that you could tell she was dedicated for the first movie because you got to see one of her nipples, and he said if you were really dedicated, you would show both your nipples.
And so then, she did in the next
and
movie.
And so did in the second. Exactly.
She's so dedicated.
Yes. Well, I
can
tell. You know, I got to say, in a world where, you know, we get directors like Mick G who can't handle things on set, clearly.
Yeah.
Thank God there's someone like Paul W.S. Anderson out there telling people, hey, if you're really dedicated, you do this.
You'll show your nipples.
And it's such an altruistic way, too. I mean, really, for now, all the audience, what you know, we get to see Mila naked again.
Yeah.
Hey, that is fantastic and totally awesome.
I approve.
But yeah, let's...
So again, you know, it comes to this thing where you need to have the background of the other
source.
Or at least now those of you who might go and see it know that there's going to be a whole bunch of Mila clones, and the whole point of that is that it's how the last one ended. So,
yeah.
So now you understand, and you can go out and watch the movie and be like, oh, okay. So, you know, these clones are from the last movie. Yeah. I gotcha.
Thanks for first off, I appreciate your Alice in Wonderland analogy. That's very cool. And second off, thanks for explaining all the clones things. I was reading some reviews for this movie, and a lot of people, you know, were sort of blasting it for, you know, some reasons were valid, some reasons weren't valid, because you need to look at it as a sequel. It's sort of like if you drop in to, like, the fifth Harry Potter movie, you're not going to know what's going on.
Which, by the way, we didn't really enjoy as much because it felt like this bridge of a movie. It didn't feel
You're
like
talking
a,
about Harry Potter right now.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because, wasn't that what you just brought up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the sixth one, right?
I don't know. Is that... I'm so confused. The most recent Harry Potter that came out last year or whatever.
The
problem with it was that it felt like it was a bridge. It felt like it was like, I'm going to link the last movie to the next movie.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a movie on its own. And that's kind of how some of these Resident Evil movies get to feel. They feel like, you know, because the whole thing is that no matter what the movie is, they're going to end it with a, hey, there could be another one, you know. But the thing is that they don't always have a complete plot, so to speak. The first film had a full plot.
Yeah.
A completely full plot, and you were, you know, you follow Alice's character as she tries to figure out what's going on, who she is, what part she had in it, if any, and, you know, and what to do to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was, you know, everything went all to hell.
Yeah.
And now we all have to try and stop it, and Alice is wacky.
Yeah.
The third movie was, wow, there's nothing left. We're in the desert. We're trying to find any place that's safe. And that's pretty much all it is. It's trying to find a safe place. And you know, oh, Umbrella's complete. We know that. That's the other thing. First movie, we work for Umbrella, and they're evil. They do evil. They do some bad things.
Yes, but they're very bad.
But, you know, it's more about they're Alice's journey. Second movie was, you know, Look what Umbrella did. Oh, shame on you, Umbrella. But we're trying to get out of here. Third movie is, oh, that Umbrella. Oh, we're going to get you at some point, someday, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know.
But let's find a safe place first. And then this movie is, I hate you, Umbrella.
Wow, that was fantastic. Maybe you should forget about that doctorate. And,
Dave,
That was great. That was really.
Dave,
it explained a lot, really.
Those are the titles to the chapters.
A lot of words. Yes.
Those aren't the actual chapters. Yeah. Those are just the titles.
That was fantastic.
Headlines.
I'm really glad you were able to fill us in on that.
I am working on the radio in headlines.
So this is Resident Evil, Umbrella. I hate them. That's what the title is. That's great.
Pretty much.
Yeah, anyway.
Might as well be.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I think the way, one of the ways that I look at it is all of these movies sort of are like, first off, they're all like the games in their own way. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, the first Resident
Evil. They're like companion pieces.
Exactly. You know, the first Resident Evil movie, it's a full movie. It's got a mystery attached to it. It's got mm-hmm. the zombies. It's very Romero-esque. I think the second one is actually a lot like Escape from New York a little bit, you know, because they have to go and, you know, find the little girl and also survive against all the freaks. I think the third one is certainly a lot like, it's sort of like Road Warrior, the movie Road Warrior, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's basically, you know, in the desert, post-apocalyptic, you know, and then there's like one special person who needs to get like a caravan of survivors with their gas across, you know, some area while freaks are attacking them.
Luckily, it takes place over the course of one day, and so we don't have to worry about water or gas.
I would say, luckily, the zombies don't have any, like, you know, man boys on leashes, and they don't have any, like, hockey masks like Road Warrior.
You know, they were going through the Nevada desert. I'm sure that there would be some old gangsters out there that were buried down there that would have gotten out
at
this
point. Good point. That's
like,
a really good point.
Where was that?
Mm-hmm. That's a missed opportunity.
I mean, they could have had old gangsters.
Yes.
Like,
they could have had,
that's the pinstripe suits and like awesome like bowler hats or something.
Yeah, it's true. That's a really good point. That's a really great point. Yeah, bowler hats.
And like ye oldie guns or something.
No, but they had Mutant Crows and Mike Epps, though. So, you know, they had that.
True.
Yeah, and then, of course, the fourth movie. Thank you. Fourth movie is almost sort of like the latter Matrix movies, you know, kind of going against the Matrix and trying to destroy the bad guy.
But you know what this fourth movie is, or what this fourth movie is for?
What's that?
People who loved Resident mm-hmm. Evil 5. If you enjoyed Resident Evil 5, and I think there's also a lot of stuff from Code Veronica in there and some RE4, but for RE5, for anyone that likes RE5, you'll watch this movie and go, I recognize that.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Oh my God, that's one of the axe guys.
Okay, let me put this. Let me put the movie like this. Okay, for me, I think the first movie, you know, is the best movie because they have a full story. For me, though, this one is the sort of the perfect combination for the fans out there of all of Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
That this new movie, because you know, not only do you get Claire Redfield in the intro, Chris Redfield, but you also get Wesker, but like real Wesker. They had Wesker in Extinction, just sort of like the business guy, Chairman Wesker. In a hologram form, but in this one, it's like Wesker from the games.
Yeah,
it's like the pumped up, you know, T-virus evil Wesker who, you know, it basically is always the guy behind the curtain, always the guy who's sort of like the nefarious guy who's always like causing trouble.
Yeah, I mean, like the word nefarious was made for a character like that.
100%. I mean, and he's always so slick and like, you know, I love when he just like when he abandons compounds and then blows them up and like takes out like the entire city. Like that whole first scene in Tokyo was crazy.
Yeah,
with all the Mila clones and Wesker
even before that, like again, just to credit Paul W.S. Anderson, the first shot in the movie of this girl in the rain in Tokyo was so beautifully done.
I agree.
I was, you know, just that first shot made me so impressed by him.
I agree. I 100% agree. You know,
in Resident Evil Extinction, Wesker was played by Jason O'Mara.
Who's that? Is that the one from
Life on Mars?
Life on Mars, right. Yeah, that is him. Yeah, that is exactly who that is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they recast him with somebody who I thought was really awesome.
Yes.
I thought the guy, you know, the great thing about the role is you don't need to be a great actor. You need to have a certain look and you need to be a badass. And I thought the guy did a great job at that.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was just like, you know, we love Resident Evil. I've played most of the games. I've played Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 5.
Mm-hmm.
We played Resident Evil 5 together because they have a great co-op mode. And so we're really familiar with RE5. And so it was really great to see, you know, Wesker dressed exactly like he is in RE5. You know, it's like, what's that movie, Grandma's Boy? How much do clothes cost in the Matrix?
Yeah.
And then also, along with that, we get the Executioner, which we've been totally looking forward to.
Yes.
Ever since we saw the trailer.
Ever since we saw the photo.
Yeah. And I have to say, that for me is kind of the most commendable thing for all these movies, for all the Resident Evil movies, is forever you want to say, if you're upset that Jill Valentine isn't in this one or whatever, not in this later one, because she sort of is, but, you know, when people aren't upset or kind of upset about adaptations that they don't have, you know, all the things that they expect.
Yeah.
I think the great thing about these Resident Evil movies is in each movie they have a big bad that is from the game.
Yeah.
The first one they have... Well, I know that the computer, that character is one of the games.
What, the Red Queen?
Yeah, the Red Queen. But also the Lickers are in that,
yes,
in the first one.
And obviously the zombie dogs. The zombie dogs are definitely...
Yeah, the zombie dogs.
Which is just such an important part of the franchise.
It's funny, because I didn't want to see the first Resident Evil movie, because I remember the trailers showcase the whole part where she kicks the dogs.
I always thought that was
the dumbest thing ever.
I agree, but to me, it was so funny that it actually made me want to see the movie more, because I thought they were going a little like cornier with it.
Yeah.
So it actually encouraged me to want to see the movie.
I so didn't want to see it. And mostly, you got to remember that, you know, pretty much, you know, 6 years after The Matrix came out, everything looked like The Matrix. Like, a lot of the action in the first movie particularly, but the first two movies remind you a lot of The Matrix. And I sort of didn't want to watch it, I remember, when it came out, because of that. Now, later on, I watched it, and I actually really liked it, you know, along with the fact that I really like Mila a lot. I think that Paul W.S. Anderson has a lot of strengths in adaptations, and I think that the way he writes these things, I thought that really, in a world where we have video game adaptations like, you know, the Super Mario Brothers and Doom, Resident Evil really kind of rises to the top, like the entire franchise. And to go along with, like I said before, with the big bads, they have the Lickers in number one. Number two, which is Resident Evil Apocalypse, they have Nemesis from the video game Resident Evil 3, Nemesis. And Extinction, you know, they still have the dogs, and they have, like, the crows, and of course they have, like, a tyrant. They have a guy who basically, like, took the G-virus.
Yeah.
And then in this new one, they have Wesker, they have the Execution. And so, you know, they have these big bads in each one. I think that goes a long way for adaptations. You know, it's like, we don't need... I think Watchmen kind of proved that you don't need to do an exact adaptation of something, like, down to, you know, to every single piece of clothing that each character wore.
This is what I like about these movies, that they live, or at least the first ones, live in the same world as the games.
Yes,
like
100%.
The very first movie is a prequel to the first game.
Yeah.
The second movie, you know, kind of takes place in the general vicinity of like the first and second games.
Yeah.
You know, and so it lives in that world, but it doesn't. But it's not rooted to it. It doesn't feel like it needs to just copy what the game is. I mean, the thing about these games is that, especially certain ones like Code Veronica and stuff, I mean, there's almost 2 hours of cutscenes in those things.
So
I mean,
huge.
You want a movie, just watch the cutscenes.
Yeah.
You know? But that's why they take the movies and they make it into something better, something more, something different, something in that same world, but it doesn't have to be that exact story.
I agree. I think I agree 100%. I think that we found that the movies really do run parallel sort of in storyline with the video games.
Yeah, but actually we should take a quick break.
Okay.
When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about some more Resident Evil stuff, and then later on we'll get to Nikita and let's see, Vampire Diaries, Hellcats, all that other fun stuff.
In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anna Mae, Mistress of the Dork, and Dave Shield 21.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Dave Shield 21.
Just a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Yeah.
So we are talking about Resident Evil today.
Yeah, we are.
And we got some other girls that kick butt later.
Yes. But, and we'll be talking about True Blood probably later, too, because we caught the finale.
That's included in girls that kick butt.
Yes.
You know? And in this case, that a girl that kicks butt is a fairy.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, the worst thing somebody could ever do is give away a major plot point in a story well before that plot point ever comes to fruition.
Yes.
I worked with a guy who was a really nice guy, but he totally told me what Sookie was after the first season of True Blood.
That is so harsh.
She's like, oh, yeah, in the book, she's a fairy. I was like, really? I was like, really, dude? I actually had to have a talk with him. Like, a talk. Like at what point do you need to do that? It's like you sit people down for talks like, somebody is, like, you know, gone Dave, way over the edge.
Dave, I want you to take a second and think about both of our mothers.
No, I'd rather not.
Because with both of our mothers, when we tell them to not tell us something.
Yeah. Oh, God.
To please not tell us something that's gone on. Not even to discuss something because we haven't seen it yet. Okay. We don't even want to hear something that happened in a previous episode.
You know what? You have a great point because my dad did the same thing. Okay, I believe the children are our future. Therefore, all of you kids listening right now, please...
And all
you
parents,
up,
teach your children.
Do not spoil stuff for people. People don't like that. People are irritated about that.
And if somebody tells you, I haven't seen that yet, then just, I don't care how much you want to tell them about it. Don't.
The worst part is, too, is I knew about that, and I knew about, like, the whole Bill thing about why he was sent, like, to Louisiana. I knew about that for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
So I had to be, like, you know, Donnie Brasco or something and, like, lie to you and not tell you what I knew and try to make sure I didn't say that, because the worst thing is to spoil things for people. So please, don't do that, people. Thank you. This has been an announcement from Geek World. Please do not spoil. But anyway, but yeah, so we'll talk about True Blood a little later, and but yeah, let's get back to Resident Evil. So I would have to say, I don't know, this isn't really one of those one-word reviews, or maybe it is. Maybe, I always wonder, like, you know, those splash reviews. We don't really, you can never do a splash review for what we talk about, because it would be, like, five paragraphs long. But really, for me, this is probably my favorite Resident Evil
movie.
What
is a splash review?
You know, like, the ones they just splash on the TV, like, you know, exhilarating, and, you know,
well, they just
the greatest Resident Evil movie ever, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's because they just steal little, like, words.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, around, like, this plot was terrible. That was funny, because after we got back, I was like, I loved it. I loved the movie. And I was like, anime, what's the plot of this movie? And then you gave, like, some long answer that wasn't the plot to try to
No, I didn't. I didn't give you that. No, what I said is, I can't tell you the plot of this movie, but I can give you my analysis of the whole Alice, you know, Alice, you know, down the rabbit hole thing for the entire series.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly. Your answer is what you had said earlier.
Yeah. The whole thing is that you can't give an analysis. You can't give the plot of this movie, because what's the plot of this movie is, Umbrella, you suck.
Yeah. Well, it really is. It is. It, the plot of this movie is finally the survivors fight back against Umbrella.
Not quite. Alice does in the beginning, but they're still trying to find to try and find safety.
They are, but...
By the end of it, it's finally in that, like, you know, when we make another movie, we're all going to fight back this time.
Yeah, but still, this is the first one with a real Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
I mean, the other ones, it's like, the first one is, like, when it all happens. The second one is, like, surviving. The
third one does have Chris Redfield.
Really surviving. Yeah. And then the fourth one is surviving plus a counterattack against Umbrella. But anyway, let's talk
about...
But
only because Umbrella happened to be where they ended up.
In the end, but in the beginning, like you said,
but it was just Mila. That wasn't the survivors. That was just Alice.
Mila and her billions of clones.
That was just Alice and Alice and Alice and Alice and Alice and Alice.
Yeah, that was the funniest part. After a while, I come back, I'm like, if you haven't seen Resident Evil Extinction, you have no clue what's going on with the clones, because they don't mention it again.
Yeah.
Like, it begins where there's, like, a billion Milas, right? And then that's it. And then they don't explain anything. So, yeah, you really have to see Extinction. I think the good news is, if you like Resident Evil, like the video games, you should love this movie. If you don't love this movie, then, you know, you expected more than you should have.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, it's you don't compare, like, Resident Evil movies to, say, Inception.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's not what you compare it to. You compare it to something like The Expendables.
Yeah.
You know, it's about blowing things up and shooting things and.
And I enjoyed this way more than The Expendables, by the way. Though the Expendables, though the 12-year-old inside me loved The Expendables very much. I thought this, you know, I think that it was the right time. I think this is the best. This is the best first video game adaptation to be shot in 3D.
I agree.
I think it was shot really, really well. I think the CG was really good.
I agree.
And I think that, once again, you know, it's real 3D. It's those fusion cameras. And so it's not, you know, a conversion that looks terrible. Let's get into some of the really cool stuff about the new one. Is that cool? And then we'll go back to the other one?
Yeah, totally.
I think, as we go into the
new one, we'll have to directly talk about some of the old ones.
And like you said in the beginning, it starts off off in basically just a what am I trying to say? A crosswalk in Tokyo.
Yes.
And all the umbrellas and everything, and it's raining. And
yeah, all the umbrellas.
All the umbrellas, exactly. And it's raining, and then, you know, basically there's this girl who becomes a zombie and eats everybody, or starts eating a guy. And it's really actually, it's like the most artful thing they ever did in one of these movies. It was crazy. It was beautiful. And also, I gotta say, the music in the whole thing was really good.
I agree. I always dig the music in those movies,
yeah.
But this one was especially good because they did a really good job at incorporating the kind of creepy sounds of it, like kind of like what they do in the games, the kind of creepiness, but also making really fun, high-impact music.
I thought it was mostly like really cool house music.
It was, yeah. but it had these kind of like shrieks underneath,
yeah.
You know, these like just, yeah, anyways.
Like, yeah, like zombie screams underneath, like, rah!
Something like that.
Yeah, like, rah! You know, like, rah! You know, like that.
Just
I mean?
Like that.
Yeah, exactly. They called some guys, hey, guys, can you just
go
some
rah!
Zombie sounds?
And
add into the sound? Exactly. And then, of course, you know, we get some Japanese guys, you know, sniping the zombies, and what were they saying, anime?
Oh, Biohazard Clear.
Yes, exactly.
Like that, yeah.
Which, of course, you know, Resident Evil is the American name of the video game Biohazard,
mm-hmm.
which all over the world is known as Biohazard. Only in America is it known as Resident Evil, and it's purely just because the first game was in a mansion.
Yes.
Resident Evil. It's like, it's a house.
Yeah.
A residency. So, you know, we got
I liked when we were talking to the guy from one of the video game places that we go
yeah.
to, and he's like, it's weird when people come in and ask for Residential Evil.
Exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
Don't spit your coffee.
I know. Well, the next one should just be in an apartment building. And at this point, you know, all the zombies, as the time goes on in the video games, they become more controllable
uh-huh.
and less, you know, crazy zombies. So maybe they could have, like, some sort of apartment building where everyone, like, lives together and, you know, can borrow some sugar type thing.
Wasn't there a movie like that?
Probably.
Like, with an apartment building and a zombie kind of a thing?
What do you mean? Like
with the chick from Dexter?
With Julie Benz?
No.
The other chick from
the one who plays his sister.
Oh, yeah.
She had, like, a camera.
Yeah. You're talking about, yeah, exactly. The woman, she goes in, she's, like, a reporter, and she gets, like
that.
Quarantine.
Yes!
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, that is sort of, like, yeah, except I meant, like, zombies that weren't just constantly eating you.
Oh.
I don't know if they were zombies,
though.
Wait,
what would they do if they weren't constantly eating
you? Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They're, like, you know, they're controlled zombies now.
Oh,
so, you know,
gotcha.
It's like the ones with the
kind of like how Wesker can make his dog sit.
Exactly. Oh, man, those dogs were so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me about the dogs. You know, like we said before,
I'm always reminding you about the
all
dogs.
All Resident Evil, who let the dogs out? Well, it was Wesker, and I think the cool thing was that
who let the zombie dogs out?
Yeah, and you know, one of the cool things about, you know, there's dogs in all the Resident Evil games.
Yes.
They're like one of the main. They're actually one of the first real things you fight in the original game. And you know, they had Milo, like we said before, was kicking them in the first game, and then I think Jill Valentine was fighting them in the second game,
mm-hmm.
and Milo again was fighting them in the. I'm sorry, I keep on saying game. Second movie,
main
and then
movie,
the
yeah.
third movie. Mila's fighting him again, and this one, you know, she's fighting him once more, but this time it's Wesker's cool zombie dogs that basically, like the new games, I think, like since what, like four or so, I'm not really sure, but the ones where like basically their whole head opens up,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like these gross teethy jaw things.
Well, for any of you who play the games,
like,
I mean,
flowers.
That's like, especially in this fifth game, like those things are just so tough to fight
yeah.
against. And
yeah.
when you like, when I was watching the movie, I was, you know, I was getting these like sense memories in my hands of playing the game. Like, I gotta run from the dog.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, they were the freakiest in this one too. And I also think that one of the really cool things about this game is like you said earlier when you were talking about your Alice in Wonderland analogy is that in the beginning of this one, when she confronts Wesker, like you had said before,
mm-hmm.
he injects her with a serum that basically stops the T-viruses, so she becomes human again. And so, you know, that just makes the movie, you know, it pushes the envelope in sort of how scary it is, because now, once again, she's a human.
Yeah.
She doesn't have, like, telekinetic powers, you know, she's not like the bad guy to Kira all of a sudden. You know, now she can get hurt, now she can die pretty easily. And so I think that it was a really good time to raise the level, especially when you bring in someone like Wesker, who's actually like super powered, like he is in like Code Veronica and all the other Resident Evil
yeah.
games. But Those dogs were so freaking freaky and awesome. And once again, directly from the game. I mean, like, it's just, I love that, you know? And I think people do need to look at that and do need to appreciate that. You know, it's one thing it's one thing to make a great movie. It's one thing to make a great story. But when you're adapting something like a video game, I think it is very important to have elements from it.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, we joke that, you know, oh, Wesker should have done more.
That's the one thing I wanted him to do in the entire movie. Yeah,
but at the same time, you know, if he had done that, it would have been so stupid.
Yeah,
and we don't actually want it, but at the same time, it's like, you know, that's the difference between, you know, someone who's good at adapting video games and somebody who's not.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's good at it knows that, you know, maybe there will be a special feature or something of Wesker doing that, or you know, but they know that kind of thing, while it's fun and a part of the character and something he often does, it's not necessary for
not too much stuff comes out of nowhere too, you know. It's like he's smart. Paul W.S. Anderson, like we said, these movies run parallel. It almost seems like the first Resident Evil game happened kind of at the end of the first Resident Evil movie, like between when she got captured between when she got captured and like woke up in the hospital, it seems like the first game happened then or something like that, in the mansion with all the zombies out.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then in the second movie, it's like all the stuff that goes down
right at the end, right at the end of the first movie, they're sending in the STARS team
to
go check out the mansion.
Exactly.
So,
And so, and good point, you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's at the very end, they have the STARS team like just about to come, you hear like the radio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, and then, you know, basically the second movie, Resident Evil Apocalypse, is essentially what they did is they took the Alice character and they dropped her into Resident Evil 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is 100% practically the same thing. Basically, Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which I had never played before, but basically it's Jill Valentine in Raccoon City fighting the Nemesis monster, like half the time, while also killing other zombies. And that's really what Resident Evil Apocalypse was. I mean, like we said, there was a bit of Escape from New York type thing to
and
it because
three
it had
is
to,
also where the Carlos character is, right? The
three Carlos is in three, and he's also in two. In Apocalypse,
Which is the Odette Fair character.
Yeah.
In
oh, I'm
the
sorry.
Movies.
We're talking about the video game. Yeah. We're going Yeah. Yes. I believe he was in Nemesis. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking. You're saying
Carlos
that in the second movie.
Yeah.
She was dropped into the third video game.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm. And I'm saying that the third video game is where the Carlos character.
You are 100%
shows
correct.
Up and he shows up in the second movie, so it's kind of perfect.
Yes.
They have Jill Valentine and Carlos Oliveri, which are the two characters from three.
Exactly. Good call.
Third
game. Yep, Carlos, and let's not forget Nikolai. Played by that guy from the
Dollhouse and Dollhouse
and Postal. Yes. And also along with those guys.
And also Blood Rain too.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yes, he's the bad guy in Blood Rain too. You know, there's
that guy.
You know, the whole idea of, like, you know, with a great power comes a great curse also. Like,
yes.
You know, having the knowledge.
I know that with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, but also sometimes with power comes a curse. And I think that having seen all those Uwe Boll movies.
Have you been bitten by the monster?
Yes, I have. We know, you know, that we now know all this stuff, but it's like kind of a curse to know, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, it's like I know this now. Oh, and I can't. It won't go away.
But you
either.
Know what? You know what, Dave? It gives us another reason to talk about Til Schweiger.
No, but really though, it's the worst, because you know, you find this in life that you remember the stuff you don't care to remember.
You know what, Dave? At least we didn't win the Uwe Boll movie.
Oh, I know, that was Rybar.
Rybar
is a genius.
He's an Uwe Boll expert.
I think he's going to go back to school and get his PhD in the cinema of Uwe Boll. I really think he's going to be a historian.
His name to Darkubis Rybol.
Good call. Very good. Yes. He's going to get a PhD and he's going to travel.
He's going
to
be Dr. Darkubis Rybol.
All across the world.
He's going to he'll be a doctor and he'll hang out with Dr. Uwe Boll.
Man, that guy must be stopped. Like,
let's
be stopped.
Let's stop talking
Uwe
about
Boll
him now.
Uwe Boll is like the Umbrella Corporation. He needs to be stopped.
He kind of is.
He really is, though. We haven't watched the Trevor's new movie.
I can't. I don't
it's
think
like
I
a
can.
It's like a Holocaust movie? Really? And he's like, really? Really?
Yeah,
like,
I'm not even sure I can watch.
I don't want to watch the trailer. Like, I mean, he has to be stopped no matter what. Like, he is just the worst. He's he's so unlikable. And you know, also thanks to how bad he is and incompetent he is and how bad his movies are, it just makes movies like Resident Evil look even better.
Yes.
You know, video game adaptations like Resident Evil. So,
hey, you know what? If I'm going to have somebody adapt my video game, I want it to be Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah.
I mean, between Mortal Kombat, the original one, like back in the day,
yeah,
and the Resident Evil movies, like...
Speaking of Mortal Kombat, I'm pretty sure the guy who played Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat was in Extinction as the cowboy. Yeah. The sniper cowboy. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like we said before, with Apocalypse, it's like, you know, along with the Nemesis and Jill Valentine, Carlos and Nikolai, also, you know, they hold up in a church, mm-hmm. just like the third game. And also, you know, Nemesis only says star.
Yeah.
Star, just like in the game. And also, really, it's the same basic idea. Umbrella basically sent in their units to test these tyrants, basically, to test these monsters. And of course, at the end of Resident Evil Apocalypse, the movie is just like the end of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, where they blow up Raccoon City, they mm-hmm. nuke it. And all this also basically happens in this new movie. I have to say again, the special effects are really good in this new movie.
Yeah,
I thought the very beginning when the city explodes or implodes or whatever you mm-hmm. want to say, I thought the effects were spectacular. I was really really impressed by that, by the whole thing.
Yeah,
But I have to say one thing is there are quite a few. I'm not going to use the word ripoff because that's not nice. I'm going to say that there's quite a bit of. Let's just call it homage, but there's a lot of action set pieces that are sort of a lot like other movies in these movies.
I honestly, they feel more like homage than stealing, you know what I mean? Like, they feel like, a lot of them feel like they're paying homage to other things, like they're actually trying to look like other things,
but maybe
not.
Well, that's the problem, where's the line between homage and stealing? That's the issue, is like, where do you draw the line? Does someone have to say something in order for it to be homage?
That's the thing, I think there has to be a direct reference to it, and the person making it has to like be like, you know, I'm doing this like, you know, I want it to look like that, you know what I mean?
Well,
and not because I want it to look like that because I want to steal that. It's like I think that's awesome and they did a great job and I want to kind of honor that, you know what I mean?
I think for whatever you want to say, I think in this new Resident Evil movie that there's a scene in the beginning that's a lot like the Matrix lobby scene.
Yeah,
it's a whole lot like it, down to the exploding pillars and running on walls and, you know, all the slow motion gunfire. Granted, really, you know, just because The Matrix did a scene like that, you know, doesn't mean you can't do a scene like that again. That's kind of the issue is, you know, you kind of can't make it look... It's hard to get away from making it look sort of like The Matrix if you're going to use slow motion, all that CG, and all that stuff. But also, there's a scene straight out of, what we talk about later, Nikita. Mm-hmm. The movie Nikita in Resident Evil Apocalypse, where she's running away from Nemesis, and he like, shoots the missile down the laundry chute or whatever, and she, you know, gets in the thing just in time before she blows up. I mean, that was straight from Nikita.
Yeah.
Like Luc Besson's Nikita, which actually, hey, it works out because
we're talking about Nikita.
Mila, not only we're talking about, but Mila was married to Luc Besson,
right?
And she was her breakout role was really Lilu in The Fifth Element, if you really think about it. So I guess it actually works. I guess it's okay that they did that for Resident Evil Apocalypse.
See, totally,
no big deal. See, so clearly it's homage. I also like, I just like the stuff in the new movie about how, you know, what we get to realize about Wesker, how, you know, he is like Alice, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how sort of like, you know, because Alice isn't in the games, she's a lot like a bunch of other characters.
Yeah.
You know, she's got like the cloning elements from like the Ashford twins,
mm-hmm.
and she has the superpowered T-virus thing like Wesker,
mm-hmm.
and she, you know, and so they grabbed elements from all these different characters. I mean, really, the first,
and she runs in and out of this movie kind of like Stevie and
and
Veronica.
Oh God, that's what I hope. You know, it's funny because we'll probably talk about a little later. So this is the first Resident Evil movie to open worldwide and made $27 million domestically, but I think it made about $70 million worldwide. It did really, really well worldwide, and it was the first one to open worldwide, and so they're already going to make a sequel. They've already decided. It's already...
I'm glad.
Yeah, it's already...
Oh, I'm actually really glad.
Well, I'm really glad, too, because I believe the talk was before this came out that this was going to be the last one, and they were going to reboot the series after this, which, you know, I think was part of the reason why they went all out and mm-hmm. kind of added so much from the games, and I think that's why it has such a big world audience. I mean, come on. Can Can you imagine if you grew up in Japan where all these games came out and they were so famous, and then all of a sudden you see the trailer and they got like the Executioner from 5. They have Wesker just like Wesker.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks just like. And not only that, but along with the dogs, they have those cool new zombies that.
With the opening faces.
Yeah,
right?
Those cool opening faces also from 5. And so, you know, there was just so much there along with Chris Redfield being in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, come on, you can't go wrong.
And no matter what you want to say about, what's his name?
Wentworth Miller?
Thank you. Wow.
It's one of those weird names that, like, either get or you don't.
Yeah.
It's like
if you forget it, there's no way you're going to remember it.
No, won't you? Because he's, like, British, right? Isn't, like, Wentworth,
so.
Like, I don't know. Anyway, maybe
anyway,
not.
Anyway,
he's from New York or something.
Anyways.
I don't know.
No, he's from England.
Yeah,
he's
so there.
Born in Chipping Norton, Oxfordshire, England.
Oxfordshire.
He's actually Wentworth Earl Miller III.
No way.
Yeah.
Wentworth Earl Miller III. Oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
I'd like to call him Wentworth the Earl of Miller.
That was almost as good as finding out that the Q in Maggie Q standing for Quigley. Just
yeah.
Like Quigley Down Under, which, by the way, is a very awesome movie if you've never seen it.
But whatever you want to say about him, about Wentworth Miller in general,
uh-huh.
Wentworth the Earl of Miller.
Yes, I'm Wentworth. Hello. Would you like some Jemmy Dodgers and some tea?
And some jelly, maybe.
Would you like to watch some Peru? I don't even know. That's not even a British voice. I don't know what I'm doing exactly. I'm doing like that chef voice.
Dave, our British fans are going to hate you.
Yeah, well, yeah, they probably already do. So it's okay. Hey,
we love Doctor Who.
We love Doctor Who, Being Human, and Torchwood. So leave us alone.
BBC is awesome.
And also Sienna Gullery and all the hot girls that seem to come out of England. Thank you very much.
There you go.
The British listeners love us.
But Wentworth Miller actually did a
we
really...
We want your weemen. How much for your weemen?
Did a really good job as Chris Redfield. You know,
he did
exactly
yeah.
what he needed to be. He needed to be kind of, you know, bigger than everyone else, heroic,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And not really have a... You know, he had 5% more personality than he normally does, which
yeah.
is 5% personality.
You know what's really funny is every time I think about Chris Redfield, first off, I would have never thought of Wentworth Miller as Chris Redfield, but that's because I have the look of what Chris Redfield looks like in the games ingrained in my head, and he doesn't look like Wentworth Miller.
Dave just wants to see.
Nobody
Dave
really
wanted
looks
to
like,
put in a CG person.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you know, Wentworth Miller doesn't look like anybody, so it's sort of one of those things. But I think that, you know, Wentworth Miller is not, he's not going to win the Charisma Award for actors. You know,
no.
He's very, like, let's say Slow Burn. Let's say that's the, you know, that's the, he's not very animated, but I think that's why this was a really good role for
him. Maybe
it's
because he's British.
Yes, I'm a neural. No, but I think you're right. It's just just the way he is. There's a lot of actors like that. And there's a lot of, you know,
they play their characters
like
a little more
too.
Stoic.
Exactly. And I think, but that was perfect for this role, especially because the thing is, what's great about the Resident Evil movies is it's another display that, you know, women can sell action movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were talking about how Angelina Jolie is like the highest paid action star. She did Salt. She did Tomb Raider. It's like, you know, Mila, the same thing. It's like these movies, yes.
As long as you provide an exciting movie that people will actually watch, it doesn't matter if your character is male or female or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and people, listen, like, I don't even understand why people wouldn't believe this because, I mean, even Ripley and you know, has already proved the fact that people will go see, like, a sci-fi action movie.
Yeah. All you need to do is
a female main character.
All you need to do is have a part that's written for a man and give it to a woman.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. But because Mila is the star of these, you know, I thought that Wentworth was really good for coming in and
mm-hmm.
doing a really good job, but also not stealing the spotlight.
Yeah,
which you know,
it's kind of perfect for not stealing the spotlight.
She's exactly
isn't
perfect. And I thought the best part was, you know, so part of the thing is in this one is she ends up at a prison, which is like Resident Evil Code Veronica,
mm-hmm.
and she meets Wentworth Miller because he's kind of trapped in this little cage that the survivors have put in there. Oh, no, they didn't put him there. They found him there and figured
the survivors
dangerous.
Found him there, but yeah, like, he was put there by
yeah.
the... But the funny thing is that the same thing happened to Claire in Code Veronica.
Exactly, so. Exactly, yes.
But actually, we are going to take another quick break.
Nice.
And when we come back, I think we'll still be talking a little bit about Resident Evil.
Yep.
And
a little more about
we'll
Resident Evil.
Some other girls that kick butt and
yes.
Other fun stuff like that.
Let's not talk about Hellcats. Can we get away from that?
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email, geekworld@925kyh. Try and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. We will be back in just a moment.